B-Pod Studios.
Tub.
Gasper and Murray have scorching hot takes. Twisting your mind with Pat Celtics and Bates. They'll also talk socks and out-of-town things. Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper.
And Murray.
Gasper.
And Murray.
Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper.
And Murray.
Gasper.
And Murray.
Gasper.
And Murray.
Gasper.
All right, final hour of Gasper Murray here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. The final hour for me until, well, it'll be a while.
All right, good for you, pal. You deserve it.
Sure do. The big news of the last 24 hours or so, it was right around this time yesterday, right, that it was announced that the Boston Celtics made a big trade, and the big swinging Johnson at the Shamrock Factory, Brad Stevens. One thing, if nothing else, Chris, I love that he looks at these late first round draft picks and it's like, this is trash. He looks at them like I look at the GoBots in the
true.
80s.
He actually
does. I don't care about these. Give them to whoever. You want to overvalue them? Go nuts. But deep down, I know this is some trash ass crap.
And I'm more like Danny Ainge, where I'm like, give me these GoBots. I can have all of them.
Yeah, right. Mighty GoBots, mighty first round picks. So it's that, Daniel Tice, Aaron Nesmith. It's ponies for a horse in Malcolm Brogdon. And I was waiting. I think even yesterday on Felger and Maz, Mike was too. Like, what's the catch here? There is no catch. You know, big contract and some injury concerns, and rightfully so for Malcolm Brogdon. But you have, you know, a real shooter. Whether or not he'll take the role as the sixth man remains to be seen. His numbers show that he should be a starter. He has been a starter. But either way, I think a good fit and a hell of a deal made by Brad Stevens yesterday.
I agree. And let me give you another reason I like this deal. I like this deal from a Celtics comportment standpoint. How many times did we complain about them complaining to the officials throughout the season?
Oh, especially during the postseason run.
Getting distracted. And in games 5 and 6, the two biggest games of their season, you had guys losing their minds over the officiating. You know, Smart in the fourth quarter and other guys in the fourth quarter against Golden State. Smart early on and Grant Williams early on in game 6, where they end up losing. I think this is another adult in the room, a la Al Horford. And it's also a guy that's in the prime of his career. You know, Al, I think, gets a certain amount of respect. But also, he's sort of towards the end of his career, and it's harder sometimes when you're towards the end of your career and other guys are in their prime. They're still ascending players.
Mm-hmm.
They respect you as a veteran. You've heard Tatum and these guys talk about how much they love Horford as a teammate, but maybe your voice just doesn't resonate the same way. I think this is a guy in Malcolm Brogdon who sort of buttresses the adult in the room, component to the team. He's friendly with Jaylen Brown, who I think is sort of the voice of reason a lot of times for the Celtics. So I think maybe this will calm down some of the histrionics that we've seen that have gotten in the Celtics' way and really where they get in their own way. And I'm just wondering from the Celtics' standpoint if this is another component of this deal, balancing out. You love the passion of Grant Williams. You love the passion of Marcus Smart. But it's really a double-edged sword because sometimes that passion becomes distraction for those guys. And now you have another real, true professional, a guy with emotional equanimity who can come into your franchise and help you. And I think Brogdon can contribute to winning that way as well.
So if I hear you right, Malcolm Brogdon is not Marcus Smart, both on and off the floor, is what you're getting at here. So this is my thing, Chris. If they know, so this is the double-edged sword I think you're referencing with Marcus Smart, right? Like, so I thought there'd be another move to come. You go get Brogdon, you now feels like you have if nothing else, a redundancy at point guard. So, and you get a lot of players there, so it feels like someone's going to be peeled off. And if you're saying, like, okay, Brogdon's a mature leader and a voice that's going to be heard here and respected in the room, well, Marcus Smart can lose his mind, be part of a problem that way. Marcus Smart takes too many shots. This quote that's from this article in The Athletic, Brogdon saying, if I came in there, talking about the Celtics, I could give them a steady presence and a calm and I can be a calm ball handler and facilitator, getting guys like Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum easy shots, just slowing the game down in those moments when we need to get a good shot. Again, he's watching this as like, you could tell, he's like, what is Smart doing? Then why is he still here?
Because he's a great defensive player, because he can switch 1 through 5, which is exceedingly rare for a point guard, because he has shown offensive improvement. He is an excellent passer, and he's a great cutter. You know, I would like to see sometimes with these lineups that I'm envisioning where Brogdon and Smart are together, where Smart's cutting and Brogdon's maybe hitting him for some of these backdoor layups. Now, I think the way the Celtics play this year, Smart was normally on the passing end of a lot of those backdoor layups, but Smart is very good at moving without the basketball. And I thought that he sort of got away from some of that this year. Part of that was him having to be the distributor. Part of that, I think, was, again, he falls in love with the three. But I feel like these two guys can balance each other out, complement each other. And then you want the real reason Smart's still here. Brad Stevens loves him. Smart said that in the story that Mark Murphy had from Smart's summer camp. And he's talking about, you know, I have a great relationship with Brad. I believe he also said he was going to call Brad up and make some suggestions.
Yeah.
I don't know if Malcolm Brogdon was one of those suggestions. I'm not sure. I don't know how that works. It is kind of terrifying to think that Marcus Smart might have the ear of the general manager of the team. But I digress. But that's why he's still here, is because I think Brad Stevens believes in him, believes that he provides something that you need on a winning team. You were talking about PJ Tucker earlier.
Yeah.
I think the Celtics look and say Marcus Smart is our more skilled version of PJ Tucker.
Yeah. It's just that
you're not sold on that.
Well, I've just never heard of PJ Tucker fancying himself when he was with Milwaukee or just last with the Heat as I'm the de facto team leader. And it's, look, it's,
I've you didn't hear PJ Tucker say that he led the Bucks to a championship?
Yeah.
PJ Tucker, he did. PJ Tucker said, name the other 3-and-D guys, you know, before me that were in Milwaukee that led them to the finals. You didn't hear that quote?
Or any postseason articles like Adam Himmelsbach had with Smart earlier in the week, which I thought you smartly pointed out, no pun intended, on BST with Felger, that if you read that thing, any of the bad stuff that happened with the team was we, and any of the good stuff was I. I don't remember any of that kind of stuff with PJ Tucker. I just think that he's more of like that dude that can, you know, grab a jersey, keep people in line when needed. He doesn't walk around the place saying, like, I'm the longest tenured here. I'm the leader. Like that, on the one hand, I find his ego to talent ratio wildly entertaining, Marcus Smart. On the other, because people pump him up so much, and that includes the organization, it's just, it's so annoying. Like, you're just a decent role player, dude. Nothing more.
Yeah, don't say that. The Celtics fans get really mad. I speak from experience when you say he's just a role player. They get very upset. They don't like that.
But that's the truth. I don't want to tell you. Like, I'm not coming down from that. It's just, I don't know. It just felt like this. When this deal went down yesterday, I thought he would have been out the door. And not that I'm clamoring for it, but I just don't think that it's necessarily like, you can't do that. Like, you see some of the caterwauling from Celtics fans, and it's like, I don't get it. I really don't.
I don't get it either. I've kind of given up. But I will say this from a basketball standpoint. When you look at the team, if you can get Malcolm Brogdon without giving up Marcus Smart, you do it. Whatever my reservations
are
about Smart, like, I'm not giving him away.
But I just question whether or not it'll work.
Okay. So you don't think... I think it will work as long as Smart's the starting point guard. I think if he has to go back to the bench, we have a problem. But I also am smart enough to know, and I think Brogdon is too, that in the NBA, it's not about who starts. It's about who finishes. What's your closing lineup for your team? And I think Brogdon will be in that closing lineup. I think Smart will be too. I think where you really have a problem is if it's a game one of the NBA Finals situation with a 40-16 fourth quarter and Smart sitting there with his arms folded in the fourth quarter while Brogdon and Derek White or Brogdon and, you know, Gallinari are out there and he's not out there. Then I think we have a problem.
Let's go to John in Norton on the Celtics in this trade yesterday. Hey, John.
Hey, guys. So I'm really excited about these moves for a couple of things. Number one, Brogdon is 6'5", which is a good size for guard, and Gallinari is 6'10". So they fill two needs with size and shooting. And from an offensive perspective, I think Brogdon is a better player than Smart. If you look at the overall game with defense, they may average out. But the other thing, like, look, is a positive now. If you figure Gallinari or Brogdon, the first two guys off the bench, that now moves Grant Williams and Derek White to the number 8-9 guy and Pritchard 10, which really gives you phenomenal depth. And the one other move that if they could do something that I think they could afford to do now, I don't know what kind of interest there would be in Grant Williams, but the one other role that I would like to see them get is Gallinari is a forward. He doesn't play center. It would be nice to get another big guy behind Robert Williams and to spell Horford, you know, a true guy that can, you know, get rebounds, play defense, you know, maybe shoot a little bit. But if they could somehow do a Grant Williams for something like that, that'd be the last move. But I think right now the depth they have will allow them to not have to have Tatum and Brown guys necessarily play as many minutes, and hopefully they get to the same spot and these guys aren't burnt out. But you got to give Brad Stevens credit, and I don't know if he could do a dual role, but I'd get rid of Chaim Bloom and let Brad Stevens manage the trade deadline for the Red Sox, too. Take care.
Thanks, John.
Yeah, obviously, you know, sort of different approaches. One guy prioritizing young players and development and draft picks, another guy saying we're going to win now, but there's a huge difference between the two leagues. If I'm looking at this team, and this sort of brings us back to Durant a little bit, the caller just hit on that. I think one of the strengths of this team now is its strength in numbers. And do you want to disrupt that to bring in Durant? And we haven't talked about this, Jim, but within the Durant conversation, and I think this ties into Smart, and we can talk about it in the next segment, is really the idea of, you know, Smart is venerated and lionized by the fan base in a way that Jaylen Brown is not. And does that ultimately play into the way Jaylen Brown feels in the next couple of years about signing a max extension here, particularly if his name is dangled out in the Kevin Durant talks? The one thing we haven't discussed is, are you better off with 4 years of Kevin Durant, assuming he'll come here, than 2 years of Jaylen Brown? I don't happen to think Jaylen Brown is a flight risk at this point, but it could maybe go in that direction depending on how vocally and publicly you dangle him out here and how long you do it for Durant.
All right, we'll touch on that next. Why isn't Jaylen Brown getting the love from you people? We'll scold you next.
Chris Gasper, Big Jim Murray, 98.5, The Sports.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Is 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Sounds like fact, not opinion to me.
This is Gasper and Murray on Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Now that it's a possibility.
Yeah, of course.
You take him?
It's Kevin Durant. I mean, the only thing that I would ever...
Would you call him Durantula?
Or Slim Reaper, or whatever you want to call it. Durantula, whatever Durantula? You want to call. The only thing that I would think about is the age, right? That's the only thing that comes into play. But in the NBA, I don't even look at anything past 3 years. So I'm watching Kevin Durant. I know how hard he's worked. He has gotten injured, but he seems to bounce back. I would feel like he has 3 years minimum of good high-level basketball. He would fit in perfectly with the team. So, yeah, I would definitely do that. Depends on how many picks or pick swaps Nets would want. And by the way, Jaylen Brown, I'm not trying to throw shade. I think you are an elite.
Right,
elite
and it's a compliment
player.
That he's in these conversations.
Yeah. But, like, if I'm the Nets, okay, we'll do this show. You won't tell me a better trade package than Jaylen Brown and picks. You won't find one. I guarantee it. You can look far and wide across the NBA. You will not find a more accomplished
right,
player
which,
with an upside.
Which is why the Boston Celtics won't do it, because they're
that's
not...
Fine.
Willing, and so
that's fine.
Just keep going,
but don't,
going back
you're
to.
Bringing okay. me into that conversation. That's fine if they decide not
right.
to. But don't say, then the conversation is over.
Right.
You're acting like in the NBA... Oh, we're just solidified. Everyone's going to be here for 9 years.
For sure. And
you don't
that
know
is-
that.
Brian Scalabrine, Chris Forsberg, talking about the potential of Kevin Durant maybe coming to the Celtics. As Kevin Durant said, yes, I would like a trade out of Brooklyn. Thank you very much. Yes, I was injured. Thank you for that big contract you gave me, Brooklyn Nets. But deuce is in the air. I don't want to be here
can you
anymore.
Say goodbye, Brooklyn?
Yeah.
Goodbye, Brooklyn.
So if this were to happen, it feels like Jaylen Brown would be involved in any kind of permutation of a trade to go back to Brooklyn, which you think could exacerbate Jaylen Brown feeling like he's what? Unwanted here, Chris?
That yeah, he... I'm not fully appreciated.
Yeah, and I'm with you on this. For all the love, ridiculously so, that Marcus Smart gets, where is the love for Jaylen Brown? Tatum gets it. Yeah, he's your star. But Brown, it does feel like, is not as appreciated as much by the fans. And you think what? So if you were to find out, if the Celtics were to find out, look, people don't appreciate me here. You don't appreciate me here as a franchise. Then he will want to go to greener pastures.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's always the potential that if you feel like you're not valued, and I remember that tweet the other day that he liked.
Right.
You know, that was basically saying Jaylen Brown is underappreciated. So he already sort of either feels that way or has people in his ear telling him that, that can be compounded by the fact that your name is in a trade discussion. Now, granted, it's for Kevin Durant, arguably the greatest player of this generation, one of the greatest players. I guess it depends whether you consider him to be the same generation of LeBron or not. Either way, you look at that and you can say, oh, hey, man, you should take it as a compliment. But if you already feel like you're not getting that love maybe from the fan base, you're not as appreciated, you know, people are harping on your turnovers after a 40-point game against the Heat where basically nobody else showed up. And you look at the NBA Finals, and yeah, turnovers were absolutely an issue for Jaylen Brown. He averaged 3.3 turnovers per game, but Smart averaged 3.2, and one guy was a much more impactful offensive player than the other. You can sort of look at it and say, what do I have to do here to be respected? And maybe I need to go somewhere else to get my respect.
What is it? Why do you think that, just from a fan standpoint, that they don't, they're not showering him with love and the way that,
because he's kind of caught in between, right? So Tatum is, I had this discussion the other day with somebody at the station, and we were talking about it. People love Marcus Smart because they want to believe that the way he plays, and no one plays harder, that the way he plays and the effort he gives automatically translates to winning. Because they want to believe that, because it's sort of built upon an ethos, right? The person who works the hardest and tries the most is the best.
Yeah.
But that's not the way it works in real life. But they want to buy into that, right? They so desperately want to buy into that. On the other hand, you have Tatum, who's just a natural, like, you know, smooth as can be, right? And Jaylen Brown is neither of those things. Jaylen Brown is sort of a work in progress. He's hyper-athletic, but the game doesn't always seem like it comes naturally or easily to him. And he's not the team mascot hustle guy. So it's easier to embrace, I think, particularly in this market, going back to when the Red Sox had the Dirt Dogs, you know, we love the hustle guys. We love
Trot Nixon.
We love venerating the hustle guys, and that's what Smart is. He's a hustle guy, whereas Brown's sort of in between. And also I think it goes back to the perception of Brown when he came here, which was, this guy can't really shoot. We had the number three pick. We should have traded it for an established player. I was there that night at the Garden when Wick announced that pick, and it was booed. It was booed roundly. So I think from the jump, people have sort of looked at that and said, I don't know about that, you know?
Yeah, but he was like, I don't know. He was their best player in the finals.
He was.
Him or Rob Williams. He had that one bad game. And his handle does drive me crazy, but
That's part of it, too. His turnovers are atrocious. But not just the number, but I think the way they happen fuels people and infuriates people.
Heart, effort, like, it's all there. I think it's, like, on par with what Marcus Smart gives you in terms of heart. Like, again,
he has an alpha attitude.
Yeah. So, yeah. This is us scolding you. What the hell's wrong with you people? Show more love to Jaylen Brown unless you want to lose him.
Well, the other thing is, take all everything I just talked about away. How many teams in the NBA are looking for that type of player in terms of young, versatile wing, still growing, can hit the outside shot, can get to the basket, can get to the free throw line? He missed way too many free throws in the postseason, I'll say that. But a 25-year-old guy with his ability and his skill set who's been an all-star, that's pretty much what every team in the league is hoping to find or cultivate.
What do you put into the, so he signed with this Donda Sports, which is named after Kanye West's mom. This is the Kanye West Sports Group or whatever. Do you think that could potentially be a negative influence for him? And that, like, hey, you should, oh, you do?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about it, but I'm just looking at it. There could be people in his ear telling him, you know, you're not respected, or you're not getting your worth here, or you're always going to be a second banana. I don't think, the thing I like about Jaylen Brown is I think he's an independent thinker. So I don't think he would be easily swayed by that. Like somebody like Kevin Durant was easily swayed by Kyrie's whispering of sweet nothings. But at the same time, if that drum beat is happening and it's being coupled with a feeling of, oh, I'm not getting my respect contract wise, or I'm not getting my respect from the fans or media, there is a way that that can sort of seep in by osmosis and influence your decision-making. Not 100%, but maybe there's like a 10 or 15% influence there that when push comes to shove, influences your decision in a way that's not good for the Celtics.
Nick in Plymouth on the Seas, as we're talking about them here this last 30 minutes. Go ahead, Nick. Nick. Hello, Nick. Nick, goodbye. Ed in Whitman, we're talking about bad knockoffs like the GoBots earlier. We'll take this. Go ahead, Ed.
Yeah, this should be interesting.
Hey, sorry, it's off topic right now. But
nah, it's all good.
Getting, kick out of the G.I. Joe talk a lot. But bad knockoffs, yeah. Middle school, all I want is Air Jordans. Asking for Air Jordans, asking for Air Jordans. Gifts shaped like a shoebox. So I'm like, finally they're here. Open them up. A pair of hideous-looking Air Jordash.
Oh, I remember those.
Oh, God.
I remember the Air Jordashes. Oh, man. I remember those.
Yeah, it was fun rocking those in middle school. That was definitely awesome.
Oh, Ed, thanks for the call. I'm sorry. That must have been a
tough one.
Real bitch to deal with. Oh. What was another one we'd get on people for around 7th, 8th grade? The fake champion sweaters? Or like they looked like champion, but they didn't have the C.
Fake starter stuff. Starter stuff was huge.
Yeah, that's right.
I had so much starter stuff. I had all the starter gear. I had a starter windbreaker that was really good that got stolen out of my locker in middle school.
Was it Hornets? Everyone wanted the Charlotte Hornets.
So
one.
I had the starter teal Hornets hoodie.
Yeah, yeah.
With the script.
That was nice. Yeah.
So I have family in Connecticut, right? And Starter was based in Connecticut, and they used to have the Starter factory outlet in New Haven. And we would go there. I would beg my dad to bring me, and we would go there, and I'd get all this stuff.
Oh, I know. I loved that cursive. No matter what sport, what team you were talking about, those were sharp.
I had the Hornets. I had the Philadelphia Flyers in black with the orange, which was nice.
Yeah.
And then my go-to for like middle school dances where I had these two starter like mock turtleneck things.
I remember the mock turtlenecks.
And one was like the Oakland Raiders. That was like my dress. That was like my dress sweater back then.
I'm dressing up as Art Shell going to the dance.
Pretty much, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's going to bring him in, Chris. Have fun.
Well, that explains a lot about me.
30 minutes to go here, including 5 questions. Got nothing to do with sports towards the end of the hour. You want to touch on anything that we've touched on here? Been very Celtics heavy with the Malcolm Brogdon trade and the Kevin Durant rumors, whispers, if you will. 617-779-0985. The phone number will get to your calls coming up next.
That's an aberration, which I freely admit.
It's Gasper and Murray.
I'm drunk, you're gross, let's go.
98.5, the sport.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is Chris Gasper.
I'm not the one who's red-faced and ranting, so who's the baby?
And Big Jim Murray.
Cakes in your face, sports.
Gasper and Murray on Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Gasper Murray, 98.5, the Sports Hub. Go right to your calls. Our guy Tommy and Lynn. Hello, Tommy.
What's up, guys? I got two takes. I want to talk about Tom Brady a little bit in the Bucs.
Okay.
Touched on them real quick. I know it's too early to talk about football, but I want to get some football takes. How do you guys feel how they're going to beat, how he's going to do this year with the team? Now losing Gronk in retirement. And I want to know how he's going to do throwing the ball to Mike Evans and all those guys. I want to know what your guys' input. Now jumping to my Bruins take about Jim Montgomery. Hopefully he does a good job coaching this team, and hopefully they listen to him, and hopefully the players don't even him out, and he does a good job, you know? But I want to say happy holidays, and I love you guys.
Thanks, Tommy.
Thanks, Tommy.
Have a happy 4th. Be safe. And enjoy the what it felt like when I lived there, 7 straight days of obnoxiously loud fireworks.
Oh, man. Are you kidding me? 7 days. It's going to be an entire month.
Yeah, that's true, too. Oh, my
man.
God.
Yeah. I wish if you could do, like, per capita, who's purchasing illegal fireworks from New Hampshire, Lynn would be at the top of the list.
That first thing, I said it, I think, maybe just last week, Chris. I'm not, like, I'm glad that Brady's still playing. I am.
Yes.
I'm not super jazzed that it's with Tampa again. Like, been there, done that. You got your one spite title. Awesome. I'm glad that you shoved it in everybody's faces, especially Bill's. I just wish he was with the Dolphins. And The Gronk thing, I don't think, is going to be the biggest thing, but they do feel real thin at tight end. You know who I think is going to be a good fit for him is Russell Gage, who they got from Atlanta.
Yeah,
their
I like
slot
that.
Guy.
Yeah, I like that move.
But do I, like, they'll be there. They'll be in the mix. Do I think they're going to win another title this year? I don't. I just think, I don't know if he wants to be there either. I don't know what his commitment to this year there with Tampa is going to be.
Yeah, it's a good point that you raise. I do think, however, though, as long as he has enough weapons around him to make it enjoyable, that once it becomes football season, he locks in. Traditionally, I think where he gets frustrated is when it's not fun, when he feels like he's pushing the boulder up the hill offensively. They still have enough weapons and enough playmakers there where they should. And I think there are guys that will make some strides for them, younger guys. I thought Tyler Johnson really took a step back last year. He'll get more of an opportunity this year.
Oh, right, yeah.
Jalen Darden, the receiver that Tom basically handpicked when they drafted him. He was a rookie last year. Apparently, he's had a decent camp. So they'll still put up points and commit like a gazillion penalties.
Oh, yeah, no, they're a dumb team.
Oh, they're a tough team to watch.
Nick in Plymouth on the Celtics next here on Gasper and Murray. Hello, Nick.
Hey, guys. I just want to ask, what's like the favorable starting lineup for the Celtics? Would you prefer Brown, Smart, Robert Williams, obviously Tatum, and then maybe Brogdon, or you bring in someone else like Blake as the fifth? Or do you want to see, like, overall see the option of having Durant with the rest of them and then have Brogdon because Smart's gone and have a rotation of that fifth person afterwards or have White as the point guard?
So I think really the question is, you know, are you better off sort of with what you have now, or if you had to move hypothetically Brown and Smart to get Durant and your top three is Tatum, Durant, Brogdon with some other good role players still there, like White, is that enough?
Yeah, and then it speaks to whether or not you would want Kevin Durant, to which, if anyone missed your spot yesterday with Phil Gramaz, you wouldn't do it.
I wouldn't do it based on age and based on the fact that I think he's someone who likes a stacked deck. He's someone who has opted out of some pretty advantageous situations before. And I also feel that he and Tatum are sort of similar from a leadership standpoint in that they're not vocal leaders, they're passive leaders. And I've said this of Durant, I've sort of coined this. He's not only a passive leader, he's a passive aggressive leader. You know, he's going to hear all the slights, all the issues. The guy's a great player. And I'm not going to be mad if they do it, but I wouldn't do it. And I look back on it and I look at Durant. I'm just not sure he's the slam dunk home run, whatever you want to say, that people think he is in terms of, oh, well, if you have Durant and Tatum, like, you're automatically a championship team. I just don't think that he elevates teams as much as you think he would based on his resume. But I don't know what the Jaylen Brown situation is. You know, 2 years left on that deal, and people like Scal and other people pointing this out, if Jaylen Brown's a flight risk, then you might as well cash him in for the highest chip you can get. But I don't know, B-Rob, how much of a flight risk is Jaylen Brown?
I think not a big one right now, to be honest, based on his relationship with Tatum. But there's no question you're not going to get that contractual security from him this summer. The Celtics, from what I understand, will offer him an extension this summer, but he has no reason to take it because he can make a lot more money by waiting until he becomes a free agent a couple years later. It's the same situation that they went through with Kyrie Irving back in 2019. So that's going to be kind of hanging over their heads right now. But I would imagine if the Durant talks gets real, like, they're going to have some real conversations about Jaylen Brown and his future before making any kind of big decision there.
Yeah, that's good. And by the way, we appreciate that B-Rob is rationing his takes during our show.
That's right. I forgot about this.
Because he's on next.
Yeah, B-Rob, and you are with Tim McCone?
That's correct.
Until when?
4 p.m.
Okay, that's not that bad. If you said something like 5 or 6, I should order you a pizza or something.
So I'm going to be honest. You know, McCone, big-time guy, broadcast guy, very good, much better broadcast guy on television than I ever was, and obviously superior to me on radio. 2 hours? Shouldn't he do that by himself?
Well, I'm sure B-Rob wants to do the show, too.
Yeah, but it's taking away from our show. I care about us. We need B-Rob's takes on this show, especially with my phlegmy voice.
Yeah.
We needed all the B-Rob we could get.
It's been a nice recovery for that voice, by the way, Gasper.
Yeah, I found a little something that's working here, you know? So we need you for this show, B-Rob. We can't have you rationing takes to prop up McCone for 2 hours.
That's true. Yeah, I hope you didn't hold out for it. Oh, hold out on us. We'll be listening, and we'll know. I'll be taking notes, B-Rob. Nick on the Cape on Kevin Durant. Go ahead, Nick.
Hey, guys. I think what the thing with Durant is, if you acquire a player like him, you're getting the rebounding that you need. You're getting a good defensive player. You're getting a ball handler who can bring it up the court. I mean, I just don't know how, if you're all in like the Celtics are, to give it, giving away their draft picks, you have an $18 million trade exception. How do you not say, like, this is the year to go get Kevin Durant? Even if it's for 2 years, like, you are getting to the top two teams probably for a championship favorite. I mean, I just don't know how you don't say.
That's what the Nets thought, right?
That's what the Nets thought. But, with Jaylen Brown, 2 years remaining, you don't know how much he's going to command. I mean, I just think it's worth the risk.
And I respect that opinion. I would just caution people to think of Durant as a slam dunk. We get Durant, we're the NBA champions. Because I think that is what Brooklyn thought. And there are some...
Oh, it's definitely not a lock, you know? Yeah. There's no question about that. It's the age and the injury concern are my biggest things, and whether or not he would be a fit in this city. I just...
Well, that's part of it, too. Like, yeah. That's what I was just going to say. I don't want to use the word issues, because I think that's not fair to him, but I think there are ancillary components of bringing him here that could be problematic. And I will say this. If it's not working and they're not winning, is he going to be the guy to stand up and say it's my fault, or is he going to be the guy to say, I'm out of here, trade me somewhere else?
We've already seen it. He's got the track record. It's not working. I'm out, deuces in the air. So that's what would end up happening. Jack in Dorchester on the Celtics. Hey, Jack.
Hey, what's up, guys? I had a couple questions. I wanted to hear B-Rob talk about Yamadar and then that French guy. I think it's like Bergeron that they got a couple years ago in the second round. And then I also was wondering, like, the realistic possibility of Marcus Smart, Colin Sexton, or like a Seth Curry. I just feel like the fit would be better.
Well, Jack, I can at least tell you on that first thing, this is unfortunate. We're not going to get a taste of the yam bag. It's Summer League. Oh! Because Yamadar has obligations to the Israeli national team. Is that correct, B-Rubbed? I saw that.
Just devastating. Oh, devastating loss. I was going to be calling you from Vegas next week. We had a set up when you're on vacation.
Another year that we're robbed of the yo, Yamadar. Oh, goosh.
But the guy's name is Yam.
No, I don't know. That's like...
We found that out.
I ignore that. It's what I want it to be.
B-Rob, just as a quick aside, and you can hit on those players quick, but do we have the Celtics Summer League roster yet? And if not, what's the holdup?
No, and I think you might be invited onto it, Gasper, based after this trade. They traded away just half the roster yesterday. Like all these...
Oh, right.
Yeah. Link Fitz, all these guys, okay. Jaron Morgan. That was a lot of... Aaron Nesmith was supposed to play, reportedly. So, they're obviously... J.D. Davison will be on there, and Sam Hauser will be on there. But beyond that, it's a bit of a mystery right now.
Oh, that's interesting.
Interesting. Oh. So it's just a two-player team so far. All right. Why do they love this Sam Hauser kid, by the way?
He can shoot. He's a big guy who can shoot. And so if you can sign a guy like that for cheap and he develops into the next Duncan Robinson or whatever, that's I think, what every team is kind of looking for now with guys like this that go undrafted but have shot the lights out in college.
And B-Rob's right. The real reason they like him? Because if he's halfway decent, then they don't have to hear about Garrison Matthews or Max Strus ever again.
You got to go. Good point. You got to go out there when?
Friday.
Oh God!
Oh, is it that soon?
Yeah, it's sneaking up real quick.
Oh my God, that's right. Today is July 2nd. When is it? It starts the 7th, right?
Yeah, I think it starts Thursday actually. But the Celtics don't play till Saturday.
So you're there 8th till when?
12th.
Oh,
God. Ooh, that's tough. Tough break for the wife.
Yeah. Well, enjoy that. And forget about, if she's listening, forget about what I said about Las Vegas.
That's a work trip.
No, not at all.
Very professional trip.
Hugh Sean in Easton with a Patriots thought? Okay, go ahead,
yes,
Hugh Sean.
I want, everybody that told me the Patriots are going to win the Super Bowl in 2023. What do you think, Jim Murray?
I think no shot in hell. Mike in Lowell on, the Patriots aren't winning the Super Bowl this year.
Well, if Mac takes the Joe Burrow leap, they could hypothetically be in it.
And I could win megabucks. Like, who's to say what's going to happen in this crazy world?
I hope you don't win megabucks, because then there's no way you're doing this job.
I've thought about it. What's the line of demarcation? So if I won, like, $1 million after taxes, that's only, like, 600 and change. Like, that ain't enough to quit. But if I think, like, 15. So 15 extra after taxes, you end up with, like, 9, I think it is.
Ooh, that's pretty good. What about 10? What if you had 10?
Yeah, I got to think about it. And this is a pretty sweet gig. It's easy. It's fun. But, you know, there is this last week of June, most of July, that I look at like a dentist visit. So yeah. if we could work it out, that so I got that money.
Yeah.
And I'm like, look, love it, want to be here.
Yeah.
I need to have like 7 straight weeks off. Like, basketball season ends, I'll talk to you when football season starts. If we could work that out, you don't have to pay me during that duration, I stay.
That's not going to work. We have a baseball show to do.
So that's, you know, we would have to work that out. What's your number? There's got to be a number.
For me?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a good question.
I just get bored so quick.
Yeah.
You realize when you're not working, having been unemployed for a long stretch twice.
Oh, really?
Okay. Thank you, radio.
Yeah.
You realize how many of the hours there really are in a day. Fast.
You know when you're watching the TV, like in the middle of the day, just by the commercials, because most of them are
the loser commercials.
For like ITT, you're like, oh, crap, I'm not supposed to be here. This is bad.
Yeah, go back to school at this tech school, those ones. You know, we love all those places, but they're getting you because they know you're on your couch. Like, get to work.
Captive audience.
Yeah. Get back, be a productive member of society. That's what those commercials are.
But if I won, like, let's say, I don't know, maybe it's like I'd have to win $25 million. See, I would have a completely different lifestyle. You know, like, my lifestyle would be completely different. I would not, I would probably be traveling all over the place.
Right.
It would just be a totally different lifestyle. Like, I would fill that time with lots of stuff.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I don't know. I've thought about it. You hit $5 million on a scratch ticket. Again, after taxes, you're getting like 2 and change. No, I'm not quitting. No way.
Yeah,
that's not enough.
But it would be awesome to watch you like pull up to work in a Bentley.
Yeah, right.
Like in this parking coming lot. In to that
do
would
the,
be great.
Coming in to do the Saturday shift with Gasper in a Bentley, the door that opens, and I just come in with like a.
Oh.
I have all I have on is just like a $20,000 mink coat.
Oh, that would be fantastic. I would love it.
Ah, dare to dream. Let's squeeze this in one last time. Mike and Lowell on Kevin Durant. Go ahead, Mike.
How's it going, guys?
Good.
I heard a lot of talk about where this team hopper KD might go, but why isn't anyone saying the Warriors? You know, I don't know if there's anyone with a better collection of like ready to go players and young people. Like, you telling me if a package with like Wiggins, Poole, and Kuminga comes up, the Nets don't hop over that?
But yeah, I think the issue is I don't think KD wants to go back there. It does nothing.
And him and Draymond Green hate each other.
Does nothing for his legacy. Although Draymond did say the other day, there's no way we beat the Cavs. You know, we win those two series without Durant. So we did sort of extend the olive branch to some degree, but I think Durant, and we had this yesterday on Felger Matz, that part of his motivation was watching the Warriors win the title this year and feeling like, you know, his legacy has somehow been hurt by their success without him. So I don't think he wants to go. If he wins with them, everyone's like, great, you can win with the Warriors and they can win without you.
Hit it, B-Rub.
Casper of the Globe, I got 5 questions that got nothing to do with sports. I got 5 questions.
5, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
I got 5 questions. I hope this segment ain't too.
All right, this one's pulled from the headlines, Chris. I don't know if you saw this, but an oversold flight prompted Delta Airlines this week to offer $10,000 to passengers willing to give up their seats and take a later flight to Minnesota. So it's from Michigan, Grand Rapids, Michigan to Minneapolis, Minnesota. If they're offering up to a $10,000 voucher, are you taking that? And what number do you start on with that?
Oh, I've never taken one of the vouchers. $10,000 and I'm just going to Minnesota? Yeah, I would take that. So it's not $10,000, though. It's like $10,000 credit for Delta, right?
That is correct, yeah.
Yes.
But that's at least a few nights.
Not true. I took this from Delta. It was a grand and like real, like Amazon gift cards, like real cash. You can say you don't have to spend on Delta.
You're kidding.
Yeah.
Oh.
So I think this is pretty much, it's not straight cash, but it's essentially cash for whatever you want to use it on.
Oh!
I'm taking the 10 grand then.
Oh, I don't care if I had to be at like a funeral. I take that money so fast, your head would spin. I'd walk from Grand Rapids to Minneapolis. 10 grand? I'll tell you. So there was one time I came so close. So doing those Pats road trips, you know, at the time, 2018, that game that everyone went to in the whole region in Nashville.
Oh, yes, yes.
That night, because so many people were trying to get down there, was on a, I think it was a Delta flight. It got up to a grand, and they were going to put you up in the hotel next door. And I was like, oh, this is, I need to take this. But then they really said, like, yeah, you might be on the flight the next morning. And it was the whole trip plan, so I ended up going, had a great time, even though that game was terrible. But that's the closest I've ever come. But now, more than ever, you wait around, that money just goes up, up, and up. I thought it was in vouchers. I didn't know they give you, like, Amazon gift cards, which is essentially, like, sweet cash.
I think it would take, I think it would start for me at, like, $4,000.
Now, that's a good number.
To have to, you know, especially, like, let's say hypothetically, like, I'm going to L.A., you know, I got my seat.
Yeah.
I need $4,000.
All right. Question number two. If you were an action figure, obviously talking about, you know, real action figures earlier, G.I. Joes, not crap tough. Like Sergeant Rock. if you were an action figure, Chris, what would your two accessories be?
Oh, my God. This is such a difficult question. Jeez. What would my two accessories be? Is this supposed to be like real life? Because I know you guys would be like, it would be a scarf and a cardigan.
Yeah.
Is this like real? So is this, you know, am I actually an action figure? Is this based on me in real life? Or is this like, I don't want to have a parrot?
That is, it's whatever you want it to be. It's completely up to you.
Okay. I'll go with the scarf and the cardigan.
Yeah. Yeah. Then mine would be like a microphone and like a list of grievances, I suppose.
Oh, like that. I thought you were going to say like a microphone and like maybe like cut up onions. Right.
Oh, to put in the drop ceiling. Yeah. Well, that was just really a one-off thing because I was so frustrated with my time at FNX and I was looking to get fired. Yeah. No, the list of grievances in the microphone, that's what I should come equipped with.
Well, do glasses count? Because I feel like glasses.
The glasses are already on that. It's good also, you know.
I think it says accessories not included. I think you would have to pay for the glasses.
Pay more. Yeah. Bitchiness included. what is the best song to play to sum up the 4th of July in summertime?
Ooh, man, you know I'm not good with the music. I don't know.
It's Summertime by DJ Jazzy Jeff.
I was thinking that, but I feel like that's too cliche.
No, I don't care if it's cliche. That's the perfect summer song.
I think that's too cliche.
The one that I know I don't want to hear is the stupid Lee Greenwood song. Oh, God, that's just...
What's that? Oh,
and I'm proud to be an American as I stand up next to you. Like, yeah.
What's that song? Who's the guy? What's the Red Cup? Solo? Whatever that song? He has the thing. He had the thing at Patriot Place. You know, he's one of those guys.
Oh, I know who you mean.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of the stupid country idiots.
Yeah. By the way, we're taking this to like 205, right?
No.
Yeah.
Why? Right.
Well, I mean, you don't care. You're not in a rush to get to your vacation or anything.
No, this is my last day for a while. Like, all right, next. Fireworks, yay or nay?
Nay. I'm not a fireworks person. I mean, I like watching them. But you mean, like, neighborhood fireworks, like in Lynn for, like, 2 months? Every time I'm growing up, you're in your house. It shakes your house. It feels like a bomb went off. No, I'm good with that.
Thank
and also,
you.
There's too many people that set off fireworks that have no clue what they're doing and are, like, way too low IQ to be setting off an explosive device.
Not to mention how they torture your animals too, especially the dogs.
Oh, the poor dogs.
The big displays, like out on the, you know, the big one there in the city, like fine.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's great. But the local fireworks, you people should be jealous.
I don't like the amateur fireworks. That's
the worst.
I'm going to try and drag this out now, people. I don't like the amateur.
Finally.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Wait, I think that's only three questions.
I have been looking forward to this day.
Is that three or four?
I've been Xing out days on my calendar like I'm in Shawshank. I'm not even kidding. It's the 4th of July, Chris. You're going to a barbecue. What are you bringing?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that. Can you repeat
that question?
I said
it's the 4th of July. You're going to a barbecue. What are you bringing?
You know, what's the difference between a barbecue and a cookout, Jim?
All right. Well, so concludes. The answer would be potato salad or the cupcakes, the American cupcakes.
I didn't get to answer. Hold on.
Nope. All right. Well, so concludes Casper Murray for today. I have a state to run to, and it's near the ocean. And deuces in the air, everyone. Have a lovely and happy and safe 4th of July. I'll talk to you who the hell knows
when. What's the best holiday, Jim?
Have a good day. Bye.
This is Gasper and Murray. Gasper and Murray. On Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
This hour of Gasper Murray brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change, who wants to help you prepare your car for this 4th of July holiday weekend. They offer completely contactless service with their 15-minute drive-through service. You don't even need to make an appointment. Visit GetAnOilChange.com for a coupon and save on your next oil change.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.